Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Ensu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hello? I can't hear. Hello?
Cause Sioux Falls!
Go! You're on... God. Bless America, own eardrums.
What is happening?
What it do?
Oh,
what is up?
Well, that's a hell of a start to the program.
What's up, you guys?
Happy Tuesday.
That is a Larry King-esque start to the program. Larry's confused and reading some sort of infomercial somewhere. Have you seen what he's doing now?
No, I haven't. I thought he was dead.
No, Larry King's still, he's getting divorced again.
Are you kidding?
No, he's getting divorced. This is like wife 17. I don't know. He's like a million years old, but Larry now, you know, the show's over, but what Larry's doing.
Well, you know, that one thought she was the last. She thought she was getting a part of that empire.
I think she's the one filing divorce.
He's 86. Oh, really?
I think she's pulling the plug on him. I guess
he must be insufferable.
My guess is that she got further and like long enough into the prenup where she's going to get a nest egg and just assumes that he's going to live forever. That he just is like Methuselah, and she's like, I can't do it.
Dude.
Like, someone is like, just wait it out.
Eighth divorce.
Wait it out just a few more years, and she's like, no, can't do it. But it's weird now, so what he's doing is he's got these, like, if you're flipping through at night, because you're not a channel surfer, I am. So I'll be scrolling through channels, and it's Larry King, and he's doing the Larry King show.
Uh-huh.
But it's he's set up at the same kind of studio and the desk and all that. But he's just like hawking stuff, like some sort of weird like silver supplement, like they sell him like the Pat Roberts show.
So he's doing like interview infomercials.
Yes,
with the product founder and things like that,
and leading you to believe that it's actually, because a couple times I've been like, the first two times I was like, what, Larry King's doing something.
Well,
like,
you know, dumb people fall for that.
Oh, absolutely.
They're like man, I love Larry King. It's so great that he's back on.
Yeah, and then you're
doing
like,
interviews.
You're like, what? He's selling me silver supplements. What's happening here? Huh? What? I'm like, oh, Larry. And this is my question. Like, how? Larry King has to be just buku buck guy, right? Like,
yeah, he's worth a lot.
You'd think. I mean, I know divorces are expensive, but Larry can afford it, right?
Well, eight of them. That can bleed you.
Is that like? I want to know, Larry, after like 78 years doing this, why do you need the money? Like, don't you have some form of pride or like at this point in your life, this is what you're reduced to?
I never, by the way, he's only worth $50 million.
Divorces, huh?
According to Celebrity Net Worth, which is a good chunk, but
I would have thought way more after the number of years. And
I would have guessed over 100 because you always hear about his, you know, maybe he's a pretty good business guy.
Yeah.
But eight divorces will do that to you. And, you know, I never fault anyone for money grabs. I can't go there. I'm like, hey, get it.
If the silver people were like, hey, here's 700 grand. You're
right.
Like, oh. There was a great one. Dennis Leary, and you can find it on YouTube.
I just don't think you should ever chastise someone. If somebody offers, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Well, it does matter what it is. But generally speaking, if somebody offers you a bunch of money to do something, no matter how old you are, I would never chastise someone for taking it.
If it's like a Hitler Youth rally summer camp, then maybe.
Especially when it's easy. Like Larry King just sits in there. He didn't prep for those. He's like, what do you want me to say? What questions do you want me to?
Super beta prostate. Someone's saying that. Yeah, one of them is prostate pills. You know, it's like I go to the bathroom 72 times a day. I don't know. It was weird to see Larry King in that, that venue. I was a little thrown off by it, but
he's a shill.
You're right. I mean, if someone throws enough money at you, you're like, all right,
why not?
Crested the Clown style. Let's do it.
So he married his high school sweetheart in 1952.
Yeah.
1952. 52. Then he married Annette, divorced same year. By the way, he was married to the high school girl for, a high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
She wasn't high school age at that time. She was 19. So she was, but she wasn't underage.
She was high school.
But let's clarify.
How old was he?
He was 19.
He was 19.
They both were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. High school sweethearts.
All right.
Yeah. They were both 19.
Oh man, let's be honest. It was the olden days and that's what you did. If you were 19 and you weren't married, you were like an old hag. You're like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
And then you had to go fight in the war, and then you came back, and there was already like four kids. I don't know how that happened, but whenever you returned from war, you had a family waiting for you. You're like, what? We had three kids while you were gone in a minivan.
Wasn't that backwards, man? They would say that was the thing. I remember, growing up in Kansas, there was some of this with people that I went, I graduated high school in 1993, and there's people with that idea that, okay, now I'm out of high school. Now I need to get married, settle down, have the family. And then it's like, what?
Yeah. It's changing a little bit now. I think that's, God. It's trending.
I remember him, Jason Armstrong. I'm guarantee he's miserable now.
My dad tells the story about when, because my dad was the oldest of his kids, or I guess his siblings. And his dad went off and fought in Korea. And when he came back, he didn't know his dad. His dad had been gone for several years. And his dad would get really mad because he wouldn't call him dad and he didn't know who he was. So he would he would get mad that is his little boy, but it was the olden days. And so your response was, you call me dad or I'll beat you with this switch. And my dad was like, no, and would run away from him. And it was like this really weird thing. He said, I didn't get to know my dad until I was 10 years old. He's like, I hated him. He was just this with this old crusty guy that showed up with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I didn't understand what the war was. I just know there was an old crusty dude at the house that hated me, and I didn't like him either. And I just wanted my mom. Dude, the olden days, man, it was a
free-for-all.
It was. And it just anything went. It was just, there was no child protective services or any sort of parenting book or whatever. You raised your kid the way you were raised, and chances are in the early 1900s, that was pretty crappy.
So he's married for a year. Then he marries some gal named Annette, divorced same year.
Yeah.
Then he marries this Playboy bunny.
Of course.
Same year that he got divorced and married the other lady. So by 1963, he had been married and divorced three times. So he has this is how you know it was a marriage made to last. He married her in the Playboy mansions. At a Playboy Mansion party, one of those.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's true love.
She was a bunny.
And someone's asking, what's more of a money grab? Larry doing the infomercials or marrying Larry King?
Well, marrying Larry King is certainly a money grab. I mean, look at him.
Because there's no reason to marry Larry King.
Right.
Whatsoever.
None, except for the money.
Yes.
And then they divorced 2 years later and they married again. He married the Playboy bunny twice.
The same one?
Yes.
Must have been good.
And guess what? They got divorced again. And then, from 1963 to 2019, he had four other marriages. He did lose two kids. I'm reading here. Very sad. Just this year, two of his kids died.
So he's going to outlive everybody. He'll live forever.
Well, I thought he was older. He's only, like I said, he's at 86.
I would have thought much older.
He has five kids, nine grandkids, and four great-grandkids. Mm. But both of his children with the bunny died within weeks of each other just a couple of months ago. Andy was 65, and Chaya was 51.
Yikes. Now, I don't know if it's this bride or the one before, but he married the sister of one of my quarterbacks. I've had a run-in with Larry King before.
Yeah, I remember at a movie theater.
At a movie theater, and then I got into a mild tussle over Larry King with said quarterback. He did not like that we were, how would we best put this? Questioning the motives of said sister in marrying one Lawrence King.
Yeah, you don't talk about that.
Well, you kind of do.
Around Larry.
Yeah, we.
She wants, I don't know if it's this one,
Is this one from Utah? Do we know?
Shawn Southwick is her name.
Yeah, I think she's it's the same one. So they've been married for a while then.
No.
No?
Well, yeah, 97.
Yeah, this would have been the
Whoa.
One.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's the sister of one of my quarterbacks at BYU.
Yeah, he married her in 97.
Boy, wow. Yeah, it's been a while.
So Larry King's on the market. She wants $33,000 in monthly spousal support.
You know what? In all honesty, I would have thought that was more. $33,000 seems like a very reasonable sum. $33,000.
Yeah, she says she became dependent upon his money.
Oh, yeah. I think she became dependent upon his money the moment she said, I do, or the moment she let him touch her.
So that's about 400 G's a year.
Yikes.
You know?
You know what? I'd be married to Larry King for a little while if it meant 400 grand a year.
Would you marry him right now?
For 400 grand a year?
Yeah, for 400 grand a year. And you don't know how long he's going to live.
Sure.
I mean, he could live to be 105.
Yeah.
That's 20 years of your life. You have to lay next to Larry.
That's not a real, marriage. That's... If you read about this, like I guess both of them have been stepping out. Like that's
she's a hot.
I think you just she's good looking. I think you just have to sit with them at the dinner table every now and then, right? I mean,
you have to listen to him bloviate about himself.
That's probably it.
I guarantee you, that's Larry King.
You got to lay out some suspenders, and he's got to tell you about the time that he stooped Katie Couric. I'm like, it's really what you got to listen to. There is also a great story about Katie Couric who went on a date with Larry King like back in the 90s. Yeah.
She tells that well.
Yeah, about what look, he's just, Larry's got a playbook. Larry does not innovate the offense. Larry's been running the wing tee since 1953, and it's worked for him, and he's going to run the belly dive option every single time.
Yeah, because it works.
Yeah, it works. It's worked 8 times.
He's Larry King.
Yes.
Try telling him that play doesn't work.
He's
guarantee you he'll be married again in 6 months.
Probably.
With that play.
Yes. Well, now I would make the argument that this is the most attractive time. Look, we clearly know why these women are marrying Larry King. So I would make the argument that lucky number nine is in the best position.
It's actually number 8, because remember, he married one woman twice.
Lucky number 8 is going to be in the best position because, one, I'm assuming this is more money than he's ever had.
Well, it's probably a race now.
Yeah, to try to get the last, to try to get dibs.
Everybody thought Southwick was going to be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get divorced, and all these ladies are lining up to marry Larry.
It was like Mario Kart. You were right at the very end, and you thought you were done for, and then out of nowhere, that shell comes along and hits her. Now she's on the wayside, laid up. Someone's going to come up. Larry, call me, man.
Larry King.
American greatness. At one point,
very
respected
He
journalist.
Was a big-time guy. Like, if you don't know Larry King, maybe you're a young listening to us. Dude, he was the man on, would you say news television or just television?
Just television.
He was the
Larry
guy.
Larry was a big deal.
If you wanted a good interview, if somebody wanted to really disseminate their message, or you want to find out what somebody was all about, they went on Larry King's show.
Yes. I would make the argument that if you were doing, God, I hate the stupid Mount Rushmore lists, it's like,
but here you go.
Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. But if you're talking about TV people, I don't know if Larry is there, but if he's not, he's certainly on the short list.
Interviewers?
TV. Like, Oprah is that, right? Like, of my lifetime, I would make the argument that Oprah is the biggest deal that's been on television in my lifetime, right? Oprah farts on something and it makes $1 billion. Letterman is one of those. Carson is one of those that are just universally recognized. You immediately know. And I would make the argument that Larry King is right in that conversation. I don't think he's Oprah. I don't think he's Carson. I think he may be bigger than Letterman. I mean, Larry King is a big damn deal. Larry King was a big damn deal, which is why it's a little weird to see him selling, prostate pills. Cause I can't see Carson doing that. I can't see Letterman doing it. I can't see Oprah doing it. I don't, but Larry's out there in his suspenders talking about Super Betamax prostate, whatever.
Well, he wasn't just a talking head, you know.
No.
He wasn't hollow. He was a great interviewer. Rest in peace, Larry King.
This guy says his dad, and I don't know if this is true.
Just kidding. He's not dead.
He's not dead. I need confirmation. This guy says his dad's been married 13 times and married his mom twice.
Yeah, well.
13 times?
He doesn't give up.
When do you learn?
That's a great question. At what point do you go, you know, maybe I'm not.
Four, right?
Maybe I'm not getting this. Maybe there's something I need to work on.
Three or four?
I'm going to say three.
Yeah, like I'll give you two. I mean, two, you know, it's most people will go two. You get to three and you're like, four? Maybe it's just, again, maybe it's just not for you.
Maybe it's a you problem.
My father-in-law was married four times.
Yeah?
Yeah. And his latest wife died, but he says all four of them were for totally different reasons. Like one was true love, one was money, one was, you know, it's just like, it's like, okay, well, once you go through all of the reasons why you might marry someone, then maybe you're like, oh, okay.
Oh.
Now I get it.
Money or love,
you really
right?
only marry for money.
Yeah.
So let me go find some sugar mama.
Well, I understand that motive. I really, I mean, I'm, of all the things, those are the two that make sense, right? You're either madly in love with this person, you can't do without them, and somehow you think getting the government involved is a great idea. Or you're pulling a, what is it, Southwick, whatever her name is, and she'd like a little bit of that Larry King purse.
All right, well, should we get going? That's your first segment. Larry King talk.
Who had Larry King? And by the way, how did that even come up?
I don't know.
Somehow we ended up on Larry King.
I don't know.
One of you asked, where is Larry King these days? But I don't know why you asked that.
Did we?
Well, there we go.
All right. We begin.
What's your point?
Wrapping up Monday Night Football. Real quick. Just real quick. It was ugly, but.
Hey, don't worry. Matt Nagy does not feel the need to have someone else call the plays.
And then we got some Justin Herbert talk lined up for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys want some Justin Herbert talk today?
I believe it's A-Bear.
Hall of Famer, Justin Herbert.
Well, clearly. MVP. Market 8, dude.
All right. We'll get started next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Our poll question today, 1080thefan.com, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com is the same as yesterday. Oh, whoa. Why is that? Well, because the Rams won last night convincingly on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
So I still found this question relevant, and I was curious to present to you the findings from the poll question. And it is, which is the best team in the NFC West? And of course, the 12s have taken over the poll question.
Oh, clearly.
Seattle is leading at 38%, followed by COVID, 29%.
Now, I will tell you that the DVOA, which is, think about it, it's war for football, right? It's a war ranking for teams.
Yeah, is that Pro Football Focus?
Yeah, I think Football Outsiders is
the Football one. Outsiders.
Football Outsider. Right. And it's basically just like a team efficiency sort of thing. So again, that's the West. Wins above replacement is basically what it is for the NFL. All four of the NFC West teams now are in the top 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's the top?
The Rams.
See, that's what I think. I think the Rams might be the best team.
I don't know what to make of it.
So it's Seahawks 38%, COVID 29%, Niners 21%, Rams 8%, Cardinals 4%.
So I mean, you're right there. So the Rams are 7, San Francisco's 8, Seattle's 9, and then Arizona is 11.
That would be the way that I would rank them.
Yeah, I mean,
although I may go Seattle over San Fran, although that may change come Monday because they play this weekend. And I think that's a really interesting game.
Yeah.
But, there's not much separation. Like, I think the Cardinals are pretty good, but.
See, and I think.
I can't trust them.
To me, the Cardinals are last in that. And
that makes it sound like they're bad. They're not.
No.
They're just not.
I don't think they're quite on par. But again, they've beaten the 49ers back when the 49ers were somewhat healthy. And you can say that the Rams.
Yeah, they won at San Francisco.
The Niners just got done beating the Rams.
Yeah.
So I, you know.
But I think I would bet on, I like the pass rush. You know, the Seahawks and Cardinals don't have a pass rush.
No.
So I'm going to go with the Rams and Niners because they can get after the opposing quarterback. And then I'm just going to go, I'm going to go with the Rams over the Niners slightly because of McVay and Goff. Ever so slightly over Shanahan and Garoppolo. And that's it. That's the only difference to me.
Well, and the interesting thing is, and he's admitted as
much.
And
Johnny Hecker.
Johnny Hecker would be the Bears' best offensive player. Let's just call that what it is.
How good is Johnny? Is Johnny Hecker the best pro to come out of Oregon State?
Oh.
At his position.
At his position?
He's the best punter I have ever seen.
He's really, really stinking
good. Give me a better punter.
I mean, Ray Guy is the only Hall of Fame punter, but yeah, Johnny Hecker is really,
he's
really
unbelievable.
Good. That is a good question. Is he the best Oregon State player ever at his position?
I think he might be.
Well, if he's the best punter that we've seen over the last, 15, 20 years, I don't think there's been another Oregon State Beaver that's been the best at his position over that time.
Who's the best Beaver other than Hecker?
Steven Jackson was pretty good for a long time.
He was a beast.
Like, Steven Jackson was an absolute stud. I think, 9 straight 1,000-yard seasons? Steven was the man.
I forgot about him.
I don't think Steven Jackson was ever the best back in the NFL. Was really good for a long period of time. Johnny Hecker is amazing. So, look, let's just...
We don't appreciate him enough.
No, well, because we don't appreciate punters.
Was he that good at Oregon State?
Yeah, he was really good.
I mean, like, acclaimed good? Like, oh, man, they got one of the greatest punters.
I don't know. Well, the Ray Guy Award, I believe, is the NCAA award for...
Did he win that?
I don't know. I need to look at it. It was probably someone from Utah. Because I feel
they bring in the Aussies, right?
I feel like every year, like, if the best kicker and the best punter in the country are the Utes. But... Back to the original thing, I tend to be with you on Seattle and Arizona. The lack of pass rush stops me from putting them.
They can't be ahead of the Rams and Niners, can they?
I don't think so. But again, you're so close. But you brought up that you liked McVay and you liked Goff. What's interesting is if you look at what
the love them. I just like them a little better than Shanahan Garoppolo.
Well, McVay has revamped his offense this year, and people are talking about. You know whose offense he copied?
Shanahan. Yeah. No, I think Shanahan's good. It's the Garoppolo thing.
Isn't it? We're sitting here and you're trying to figure out, and yet one is now a carbon copy of the other. Yeah.
I think you got to hand it to McVay and the Rams offense. They came back this year, tweaked things. Mm-hmm. He's not so stubborn that he just keeps he was exposed a little bit and he's grown. Kyle Shanahan is great. He's an excellent coach. I just think he needs a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Whereas Jared Goff, we saw them I guess we saw the Niners in the Super Bowl too. I think you can do more with Goff. And they were running the ball last night. I like the Rams. I think slightly the best team in the NFC West. That's a pretty good team, man.
Yeah. I'm still going to go Niners. Again, when they get healthy. And again, that's a big if. I like San Francisco.
I don't think I realized just how good the Rams defense was until watching that game yesterday. I knew they were a solid defense, but
be careful with that.
Why?
Because you're talking
about Bears.
Yeah, you're talking about a very, very bad.
Oh, you mean the team that I said sucked yesterday? Yeah. And you guys made fun of me.
We're talking about a very
bad
offensive football team. They don't suck.
Stop with that.
They don't suck, but they're not a good offensive team.
The Bears suck.
They do not suck. That's ridiculous.
I'm not changing off that opinion.
They
are not a good team.
But this is my thing about the Rams and why I caution you about the defense. The Bills went up and down the field on them all day, put up 35. The Niners ran roughshod over them pretty good. Their wins and where they've looked good defensively are the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants.
Wait a minute.
The Bears.
Wait a minute.
And Washington.
Wait a minute. Cowboys, that was week one, and Cowboys, before Dak went down and their offensive line went down, had the best offense in the league.
They did have a pretty good offense. That's a valid point.
And they held them to 17 points.
Yes.
But that said, you're right. We'll learn more about, it's only week 7.
Yeah.
We'll learn more about all these teams. They're pretty bunched up. They're all good.
Or it's already week 7.
They're good. I mean, they're all good, I think.
The Rams don't have a bad defense, but I'm not ready to...
Their pass rush, though, man.
Their pass rush is really good.
They can get you.
They can.
Now, Aaron Donald, though, he sucks against the run. Don't you think?
I do love that somehow over the last couple weeks has permeated through
Don't you think, fella?
Yeah, it's gone out through the world of Twitter, and then every time they play, there's he'll get run out of a play, and people are like, oh, look at that. And then, the next play, he has a tackle for a loss or he blows up an offensive line. Let me just say it once again for the record. Nothing kills a run game like penetration, and no one penetrates better than Aaron Donald. And it's just, it's a fact of the matter. Now, yes, when you do, when you have that sort of penetration and no one penetrates like him, when you get upfield like that, there are times you are going to leave gaps. There are times you are going to take yourself out of the play. That absolutely is going to happen. And the Rams will live with that all day long.
Is that really a narrative that he's not good against the run?
There's a couple of the analytics people out there on Twitter that are trying to throw that out.
It's been a thing for the last couple of months, and yesterday, because it was on Monday Night Football, some ESPN analytics guy started a tweet barrage of like 40 clips proving why Aaron Donald's bad against the run.
And it's not even necessarily that he's bad. They're just trying to say that he's average or below average and that he doesn't deserve the, you know, he's the best defensive lineman in the game. He's one of the best defensive linemen we've seen ever. He's a dominant force. He's J.J. Watt when J.J. Watt was in his prime, but more effective. He's an absolute beast. And anyone that's going to try to say otherwise, you're stupid. It's the same people like Junior Seau back in the day used to get this, that Seau just freelanced so much. And that at times he was out of position. And Troy Polamalu got this, that he freelanced too much and that he could be a liability in coverage. You're not, Lawrence Taylor had some of this where he was a liability in coverage. Does anyone try to doubt the greatness of any of those guys that we're throwing out? And yet there's always going to be someone that wants to be a contrarian that's going to try to take shots at a guy that is universally recognized at the best at his position. And like and if we're talking 5 years from now, like the J.J. Watt thing, people bring up J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's not even the guy's not even in the conversation as the best defensive lineman in the game, but he's living off reputation. Aaron Donald isn't living off reputation. Year in and year out, the guy is putting up pure absolute havoc on the football field.
So we'll learn a lot about the Rams next 5 weeks. Here are their next five games. Actually, 6 weeks because they squeeze in the bye. They go to Miami. So Tua's first game will be against Aaron Donald.
Oh, well,
and those guys.
Yeah.
Then they take a bye week. And then Seattle, at Tampa, San Francisco, and at Arizona.
Whew.
So there you go.
And here's San Francisco, by the way. I think San Francisco is the best team. They're at Seattle, which is, you know, coming up here this week. Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills. Ugh. I mean, it's an absolute gauntlet. So this will all, you know, this will all shake out.
By the way, speaking of DVOA,
yeah,
Colin Wilson just tweeted the ratings for offense and defense combined. I think if I'm reading this correctly, best team in the league, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
They have by far the best defense.
And
they're like the fifth best offense.
That's interesting. I think they're the new Patriots. I hate to say that.
And by the way,
they're damn good.
Antonio Brown just signed today. So,
yeah,
he's coming. Look, if that guy isn't a colossal idiot, you've now added, you can have this debate. Top three, top five, top seven, top eight. You've added one of the truly dynamic players in the league to an offense that's already filthy good. And your three receiver sets now will be Mike Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown. You can go four wide and put Scotty Miller in there. You still have Gronk, and you've got two pretty good backs. Ronald Jones gets better every single week. Good offensive line, Tom Brady, and Leonard Fournette, and a defense that, you know, right now looks to be probably the best defense in the NFL. Tampa's good.
Now, in the quadrant of the good teams, which is the bottom right corner on this graph, you have your Bucks, Steelers, Ravens, Rams, Chiefs, the Niners are on here. The Saints are in here. The Cardinals and the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Chargers
in the good team area.
Wow.
Now they're close to the middle, but they're in the right side of the graph.
What about the Chargers making a charge?
They won't because they're, you know, the division they play in. But look, if you're the Chargers, I think what you're hoping for is you're just building towards next year. And, you know, you're sitting there at 2-4, but what you're thinking is that you found your quarterback for the next 15 years. Now, again, we do this way too much where we anoint guys and, oh, I win a Super Bowl and Pro Bowl and MVP.
Schedule isn't too bad.
The schedule isn't too bad. You got Broncos, Raiders, Dolphins, Jets, Bills.
Patriots suck.
Falcons, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs.
They could be 9-7 maybe.
Yeah, you can make a run at this. But I think what you're more talking about if you're the Chargers is if this year continues the way it has, regardless of wins or losses, you found your guy. And in the NFL, I mean, 90% of it is finding your guy. Go ask the Bears and how long they've been looking, or Miami and how long they've been looking. God, the Jets, on and on, right? It's, and if Herbert is this, and you know, we're getting to that point here where in another 3 or 4 weeks of this, you're not going to sit here and say, well, I'm waiting for the wheels to fall off. Yeah, there'll be some regression. There'll be some bumps in the road. But what he's doing right now is really stinking impressive. And you put a couple, you put another month behind this, and you're going to start feeling like, hey, we found our guy. And then looking ahead, you know, still chasing the Chiefs in that division, and you always will be, because Kansas City's, I think, is still the best team in football. No offense to the Bucs. But if you're the Chargers, all of a sudden you start looking ahead at the next couple years, especially the next 4 years, because Herbert's still cheap. And now you're thinking, hey, we've got a crack at this. We get healthy. We add a couple more pieces. And, you know, we can be contenders in a year or two.
You know, it's interesting. You know, the Chargers are 2-4. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they had two of their losses in overtime to Kansas City and New Orleans.
Yeah.
If those go a different way, then what are we saying about the Chargers?
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a completely different.
They're 4-2 with a win over Kansas City.
I just think in when
they played Tampa tough, too.
They did. They played everybody tough.
Kansas City, Tampa, New Orleans, that's not an easy schedule.
They've been in just about every game. It's just that when you look at, you know, the Bills will win, and then you're going to get at least two out of the North with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Tennessee probably wins that division. Kansas City's winning. You know,
who are you battling there?
You're battling. You're kicking and fighting for that last spot, but
probably against Cleveland or Colts. Indy.
Yeah,
that's tough.
And you look at Indy right now; it's 4-2. You look at Cleveland; it's 5-2. I mean, that's, you got some ground to make up.
The Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders sitting there at 3-3.
All right, we'll have a little more Justin Herbert talk coming up next, and yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Text to the Fan text line, 503-250-1080. If you've been away from our broadcast for a while, that is the new text number.
Used to be our regular number. Well, actually, it still is.
No, it is, yeah. We just don't take calls.
But you can call. Both. Mike wants to take your call.
Do I, though?
Yeah. Mike will talk to you.
I don't think he does.
Oh, he does.
He does not want to talk to you.
I talked to, what's his face, Rich Bonino yesterday.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, Rich Bonino called, so if he can call, you can call.
Exactly.
503-250-1080, see what Mike's up to in the studio.
Yeah.
Direct line to Mike. Who knows? Maybe he'll put you on the air.
It is an actual direct line to
Michael
Lynch.
Who knows? Maybe he'll pick up.
Now, that's rude. These are our customers.
Mike, don't be a jerk.
The customer's always right.
Yeah, sometimes.
Until they're not.
Exactly. Sometimes they can be a real a-hole.
So somebody text on our fan text line at 503-250-1080. If you're an Oregon fan, do you feel a little nervous seeing just how good Justin Herbert is doing in the league, realizing how special he actually was and how much his loss will be felt?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, there was a lot of debate of how much the offense was holding him back. And you look at that, people are putting out numbers like first down run rate and third down run rate.
Yeah. Do you want those real quick?
Yeah.
Before you answer that,
go for it.
So this guy's name is Chris Trapasso, and I believe I heard the Dirt portion of the Dirt and Sprague show.
Yes.
Say that this guy Chris Trapasso will be on their show tomorrow. So if you want more on this, tune into their show tomorrow. He's like a draft guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he also evaluates young NFL players. That's his niche. So he went through and he looked. He's got a piece here on Justin Herbert. And it says 2019 Oregon compared to 2020 Chargers with Herbert as the starting quarterback. First and 10 run percentage.
I'm guessing it was quite high.
Oregon 61%.
Yeah.
Chargers with Herbert 54.4%.
Okay.
Then he's got second and long run percentage, Oregon 43.7%, Chargers 32.5%.
So you're seeing obviously a trend here.
And then this is the biggest one, third and long run percentage, Oregon, 20.9%.
Woof.
Chargers, 6.4%.
They ran the ball 20% of the time on third and long?
And third and long is usually defined
actually as 21%, Mike.
And that's usually defined as third and six or third and seven, depending on, you know, who you're talking to. But
I was imagining it to be worse than that.
No.
So they ran the ball 20% of the time on third and six and longer?
Yeah. So when you hear third and long, I mean, those
it's
are what
seven it, or more.
Seven or more. Again, yeah. Most those are considered obvious passing situations. And, you know, almost a quarter of the time, Oregon's still running the football. Clearly, Oregon was not interested in him unleashing the ball. And this is where, I mean, this is where the debate was about whether you thought Justin Herbert was good. I always ask the question, did they do that because they didn't trust him to throw the ball? And when you watched him at Oregon, I thought he was inconsistent. I thought he was late. I thought he struggled going through progressions and went through quarters where he just wasn't accurate with the ball. And so I always kind of assumed that, well, Oregon just doesn't trust him to go back and let it rip, which is why I didn't think at the next level that he would be an immediate success. I thought he'd have to be a project guy. Well, I think what you're finding out, at least through the first, you know, whatever it is, five, six games, is either he just had a massive growth spurt over this offseason and is playing looser and just letting it go, or there really was something to the fact that that offense and that coaching staff was holding him back, because he looks like a completely different player at the NFL level than he does in college. Now,
well,
this,
but we knew he had the talent, though.
Yes.
Right? You knew he had a big arm.
We said that if you would create a quarterback in a lab, you could create Justin Herbert. But I just thought the intangibles, and because when you talk about accuracy, you talk about reading defenses, you're talking about speed in which you process information and making decisions, those things almost never just magically speed up at the next level. Those are things that are either you have them or you don't, or they take quite a bit of time to kind of grow and learn. I think Josh Allen is a good example of this. I would have bet a significant amount of money that if Herbert was going to be a success, his career arc would have been Josh Allen's. That it would have been a team that runs the ball, plays good defense, and he makes plays with his legs, moves around a little bit, has some moments, but struggles, turns the ball over quite a bit, goes through some ugly stretches, and then eventually just kind of chips away and you can see the finished product. What you've seen from Justin Herbert is occasionally some bad throws, occasionally some poor judgment, but overwhelming, Justin Herbert has been poised. He has been accurate. He has been amazing on third down. He's been good under pressure because it's not as if he's getting great blocking. And he is pushing the ball downfield. He is not pulling the Oregon, you know, 3 yard check down screen passes. He's not. And I did not see it coming. And I don't think many people, even those that were bullish on Justin Herbert,
I think that's this guy's point,
could have seen this.
His point is, how could you have seen it when you watched him in college?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
You could.
Because Oregon sort of disguised, well, Oregon didn't do, put it this way, Oregon did not do NFL scouts any favors.
No.
But that's not to say that what Oregon did was wrong. You know, part of it is just Marcus Arroyo was not a good offensive coordinator for this team, period.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a reason why they moved on from Marcus Arroyo.
Yep.
Part of it was Justin Herbert did not have very good receivers. They were dropping balls right and left.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was you have a head coach. It's not all on Arroyo. Mario Cristobal's a run first guy.
100%.
You know, and that.
And they were really conservative last year. And that the third and
they
long.
They were conservative. He's more conservative than he is
a gunslinger. Yeah, run the ball, punt, and play defense.
And the thing about it is they only lost twice and they won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
They won the Pac-12.
So I can't
so
be.
So it's hard
yeah,
to be
critical of Oregon.
It's hard to be really critical of them. At the same time, so it's tough. It's like, okay, so you lost the Auburn game, and if you forgot, they lost the Arizona State game.
Yes.
Those are the two games they lost. Now, what's interesting is to go back and look at Herbert's college numbers. You know, you go back and look at his last three college games, which was the Civil War, which was bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
He had 174 yards.
Yeah.
Then the Pac-12 title game against Utah, he only had 193 yards.
He won that game with his legs.
And then the Wisconsin Rose Bowl, he only had 138 yards passing.
Yeah.
And you look at that and go, my God, he didn't even hit 200 in the last three games. He only threw 5 interceptions in the regular season, all of 2019. But 4 of them came in the 3 weeks prior to those three games.
Hmm.
2 of them were, and the only time he ever threw more than one pick in a game was the Arizona State game. two costly turnovers. So then you look at it and go, well, okay. So Cristobal's thinking, geez, he's thrown four picks in the last 3 weeks. We're going into a game against a team we should be able to beat if we just don't screw it up, right?
Yeah.
And they do that. And then we have two games. We have the Pac-12 title game, and we have the bowl game. And we lost when Justin Herbert was throwing interceptions. If we can just avoid throwing those interceptions, be conservative, we can run the ball well enough and play a good enough defense to win both of those games.
And they did.
So how could you possibly be critical of Oregon? Because Oregon doesn't care about Justin Herbert's NFL career.
No.
I mean, you know, they do, but I just mean
they're just trying to win games.
And when you look at how the Arizona State game played out and how Herbert had just thrown four interceptions, including two in that game, right before the final three games where they needed to regroup a little bit, you can see why they kind of said, whoa, horsey a little bit.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And if you go back and look, even in some of the wins, I remember, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you go back and watch that Washington game, Herbert was not good. That comeback that they had was Herbert throwing screen passes. It was outs. It was the little wide receiver screens and checkdowns. He was not good against UW. I remember that game saying Jacob Eason was the better quarterback. Not that he had better pro prospects, but, and then in the Cal game, like he would go through stretches. I remember at Cal where it'd be two quarters where the guy couldn't complete a third down pass and the offense would just get stuck in the mud. And yet here we are at the next level and the dude is absolutely on fire. So I am with you in that.
It's really hard to blame Oregon.
It's hard to blame Oregon, but at the same time, clearly you can say that they were not getting the most out of Justin Herbert, or there is a small possibility that there are just some guys.
Let's look at it this way. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There are just some guys that get to the NFL, and for whatever reason, either the light goes on, right circumstances, right coaching, you mature. We were talking about Johnny Hecker. Do you realize he was never a Pac-12, an all Pac-12 punter?
That's what I was asking.
Not once.
I didn't think we thought of him as like greatness when he was there.
Honorable mention, all Pac-12. And now, you know, you make the argument he's the best punter in the NFL.
He has been for years, too.
Yes. Patrick Mahomes was good at Texas Tech. He wasn't anything that people were like, they were a 6-7 win team.
No, that's true.
They didn't see this coming. There are guys that just get to the next level, and for whatever reason, everything clicks. And this may have been no fault of Oregon, no fault of Herbert. He just needed a different set of eyes and a different set of circumstances and to grow up and mature a little bit and maybe just have the pressure taken off of him of not playing in the backyard of where he grew up or whatever reason. But what he's doing right now is special. And, you know, it's a short sample. Please, no one think that he's, you know, Patrick Mahomes, that he's going to win an MVP or anything like that. Let the kid grow and develop. There are going to be bumps along the way.
Oh, yes. He's already a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, I know.
I've got him in the Hall.
God, it's just we're so quick to anoint people. But
gold jacket.
What he is doing is night and day better than what he did at Oregon.
But then you ask the question, because Oregon was, they had a special team last year because they had Herbert.
Yes.
And they had a great offensive line.
They should have done more.
And they had a great defense.
Yes.
So the question becomes, if you had unleashed Herbert, if you had maybe a different offensive coordinator or Mario Cristobal was just like, you know what, this is our guy, we're riding this guy, we're going to let him sling it. How would they have fared? Would they have been better or would they have been worse?
I believe that if you had had a better offensive coordinator, and maybe if you have a better OC, Cristobal is a little more willing to open things up a little bit. And again, you know, would Herbert have played better? Oregon easily could have been in the College Bowl playoff.
Yeah, they could have been undefeated.
They should have beat Auburn, plain and simple. I thought they were the better team at Auburn, and they let that one get away, and Bo Nix wasn't very good until the very end where he made a couple plays. Oregon had no reason to lose that game, and the Arizona State game was just unfortunately one of those ones that jumps up and bites you in the ass. But had you beat Auburn, you know, that Arizona State loss would have been probably would have been okay.
Just a note that probably pertains to nothing, but interesting nonetheless. Marcus Arroyo's UNLV Running Rebels had their first game this weekend.
Yeah, it was atrocious.
How'd they do?
San Diego State beat them 34-6.
Yeah.
And even though they were losing 27-0 in the second quarter, they ran the ball six more times than they threw the ball.
Okay. Interesting.
So, Marcus Arroyo, everybody.
Does he have a quarterback?
I have no clue.
Does he have any players?
That's why I said pertains to nothing.
Little unfair. UNLV is one of the worst programs.
That's why I said pertains to nothing. Just people are interested in how he's going to do there once leaving Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's game number one.
But don't you think the Auburn game, like, that isn't about unleashing Herbert or not. They should have won that game.
Should have won
their
that
defense.
Game.
I mean,
should have won the game.
They just, I think they kind of won that game.
Yes.
You know,
just got away from
that one has nothing to do with Herbert. But the Arizona State game is interesting because, like I said, he threw two picks in that game.
Yep.
And I don't quite remember them off the top of my head. But like I said, he had thrown four picks. He only threw five picks. He threw five picks in the whole regular season. Mm-hmm. He had thrown four of them right before the three games before the Civil War. So you can see why they kind of backed off and it's like, okay, we need to get back to
running the football and it ended well.
Won the Rose Bowl.
Oregon, no one's going to complain. You won the Pac-12. You won the Rose Bowl. It was a hell of a year and it was a nice way to go out on top. Hindsight being 2020, with that team, the defense you had, that offensive line, and now seeing what Herbert's doing, yes, I think there's a little bit where you look back and say, damn it, we may have, you know. But at the same time, look, had you gotten into the college football playoff, look, you didn't want that smoke. you knew what was
coming. They would have gotten their ass kicked? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
By who?
Really? You think?
By who? Who in there is better than them?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just
I'm,
maybe.
I'm kidding, by the way.
Maybe there was a team that was better.
Who ended up winning it? LSU?
LSU.
Oregon would have beat them.
Yeah, something tells
Burrow
me
Herbert.
That it's pretty.
Well, Burrow Herbert, they're lighting it up in the NFL.
Can I tell you that Clemson would have done the exact same thing? Like, you were good.
Clemson? But, yeah. What? Yeah, but still, it's fun to get there, right?
Yes.
And
you had an opportunity and.
There was one other thing I was going to tell you.
And that one hurts.
What else was it? There was one other thing. We got a break. Okay. I'll think of what I had a really great point.
All right, but let's go.
Sports point.
You think
okay. All right. 3:54 on the fan.
What? What?
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Coming up next hour, two great sports entities collide. We're wrapping up. Justin Hebert talk, Hall of Famer Justin Herbert. I don't remember what I was going to tell you, but I just looking at his stats, it is crazy. Like when you think of a guy who ends up or looks like he's going to be a really good pro quarterback, right?
Sure.
And I'd have to go look at Burrow's numbers. Burrow was sensational for LSU last year, obviously.
Yeah. Arguably the best college football season we've seen from a quarterback or a team in 30 years. I mean, he was outstanding.
But when you think of like just big time arms like Herbert, you think he has some just unbelievable college statistical games where he just torches teams. And just this last year, I got to look at his other game logs, but just this last year, he only threw for over 300 yards four times.
Yeah.
And never more than 333 yards.
No. Again, I
watched. Which I think is odd.
I watched every single game that Justin Herbert played at the University of Oregon.
And you go look at Burrow.
And I always wanted more.
He's never under 300.
Yeah.
I mean, he's.
Now, some of that, too, again, is that, you know, the Joe Burrow
in
that Joe Brady system, dude, they came out and that was an offense from hell.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I think ultimately what it is. It's the statistical comparisons are systems.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But you wonder, you know, what is Herbert in a system like LSU had?
And that we'll never know.
And if Joe Burrow played at Oregon with Cristobal and Arroyo's philosophy, what are his numbers?
And then we're probably not talking about Joe Burrow as the number one overall pick.
Joe Burrow threw can I remind you of something?
Go for it.
Timeout.
Okay. Don't mind me. I'll just.
By the way, Justin Herbert, I have to look something up here.
All right.
Justin Herbert had to be evacuated due to that wildfire.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah. In case anyone was wondering, California is still on fire. You know, they got to rake those forests.
Well, this is a new fire, they said.
Yeah. I'm just saying that state's still on fire. Like it's not good.
Ah, damn it. I can't find it. Well, anyway, Burrow threw 78 touchdowns at LSU. 78.
In 2 years.
Yep. Basically. Two seasons.
Two seasons.
78 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
And the first year he was there, they weren't that good. I mean, they were okay, but it wasn't, it wasn't all Razzleberry, Frogert, and scones. But again, I'm just kind of going through. I'm trying to think in my head, like, who are the best quarterbacks of the last, you know, 20 years, right? That we've seen in the NFL. And you can make the argument that there are plenty of those guys just off the top of my head that were not, you know, college just dominators. And the first one that comes to mind, when I thought about that, when I was kind of scrolling through my head, because if, and we can't say that Herbert's dominating, but let's say Herbert goes on to have a very nice Pro Bowl type career. And he becomes one of those top five, top six guys that we talk about. And people are going to say, man, he was good in college, but I didn't see this. The best example is, who is the best quarterback we've seen over the last 20 years?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady was never the full-time starter at Michigan.
Ooh, I got it right?
Yes.
Sweet.
Tom Brady was never the full-time starter at Michigan.
I was going to guess Sage Rosenfels.
Sports brain.
I mean, does that? Yeah. If you want to know about a guy that for whatever reason, it didn't click, he was 20-5. He threw for 4,700 yards in his career, 30 touchdowns and 17 picks, and was never the full-time guy at Michigan for any period of time. And that guy right there went on to become, without much question, went on to become the greatest quarterback of all time. Aaron Rodgers was a junior college transfer.
Ooh, Rodgers.
That had some good numbers at Cal.
Rodgers.
But was not anything that was, he was 17-5, never won the Pac-12.
Dude, I'm looking at his stats at Cal, his senior year, or I guess his senior year.
Yep.
They're very similar to Herbert's.
Well,
he never threw for over 300 yards once. 208, 140, 165, 161, 120, 223, 224, 43 touchdowns and 13 picks.
Yeah.
I don't remember watching Rodgers at Cal and going, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable.
Yes, and he tumbled down into the 20s
so
in
you're
the draft.
Right. Those are good points.
And you know, another one that I
good
thought
sports
about
points.
That I looked it up was one Ben Roethlisberger, who was
I didn't even watch him in college.
Well, he went to Miami of Ohio. And I remember Roethlisberger coming to the draft and being like, who? Ben Roethlisberger. And then you looked at his numbers, you looked at his record. He was 27-11 as a starter at Miami of Ohio. He did not dominate the competition. And you were just scratching your head. You're like, well, I guess. All right, here we go. And, you know, the guy, last time I checked, Ben Roethlisberger is a first ballot Hall of Famer. So there are guys that just, it something changes. And maybe, just maybe, Herbert is one of those guys. But, again, we won't know because he's only played a handful of games. But
maybe not to that level, but Dak Prescott? Was he great at, what was it, Mississippi State?
Mississippi State. Dak was pretty good at Mississippi State. He just kind of played on like he played on a very average team. But Prescott was good at, he was good at Mississippi State. And I think he was a 3 or 4 year starter there as well. And some of that too is like, if you're playing in one of those teams in the SEC and you're at Mississippi State or you're Eli Manning at Ole Miss, you're not winning your conference. You're not dominating the dojo because no matter how good you are, you know, you're playing with the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Floridas of the world. Whereas you can make the argument that at a place like Oregon, or if you're at SC or UW, a place like that, you know, your talent level is going to be as good, if not better, than everyone else's. But you take a guy like Herbert, and I'll bet you that Jake Browning's numbers are much better than his at UW, but it sure as hell doesn't believe that no one believed that Jake Browning was going to be a better pro than Justin Herbert.
By the way, somebody else brought up Russell Wilson. NC State didn't even want him for his senior year.
He was the player of the year at North Carolina State in the ACC, but he wanted to play baseball, and they were ready to move on from him. They did not think the world of him, even though he was a very good player there. He goes to Wisconsin, puts in a nice senior year, third round pick, right? And, you know, here you go. Again, no one, including Pete Carroll, thought that kid, who was a grad transfer at Wisconsin and a third round pick, they went out and got, God, what was his name? They got the kid from Green Bay. Matt Flynn, was that?
Yes.
Matt Flynn?
Yes.
They signed Matt Flynn in the offseason.
For like a four-year deal, right?
Yeah, to be their starting quarterback.
That guy stole money.
Yes, he did. And then Russell Wilson beat him out, and now we've got, Mr. Unlimited. Now,
I believe you mean Mr. Unlimited.
Who's insufferable, but damn it, that guy can play football.
Man, is he good until he throws three picks on a Sunday night game. Three bad ones.
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great. Let's be great.
By the way, do you
Let's
think of that every time he's, they show him on the sideline and he's saying things to his teammates?
Yes.
He's like, I feel like he's saying that still.
There is never.
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great. Let's be great.
Let's be great, baby.
I mean this in the nicest way. I cannot think of another player that I like more watching him play. And I have no really reason to dislike him, but that I dislike more than Russell Wilson.
Okay.
He drives me absolutely crazy, but I love watching him play. And he's a good guy, and he's good in the community, and he's got a beautiful wife and wonderful kids, and there's nothing about him that I should dislike.
Wait, how do you know his kids are wonderful?
Well, he's got it. Well, I don't know that. It's his little family that he runs out there. It's a good-looking family. And
his starting family?
They all seem really good, and yet there's something about him that just – makes me roll my eyes every single time. And it is probably that clip. Because every time I see him, I think of that. And I'm like, oh, God, shut up.
In honor of appreciating Johnny Hecker.
Yes.
Which we did in hour one. When I asked the question, do we appreciate Johnny Hecker enough? The answer is no. I have another one. Another NFL, do we appreciate this guy enough? That I'd like to present to you next, okay?
Yes.
And then two great sports entities collide. Those items coming up on The Fan.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.